You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. Time for the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day-ish. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And yeah, it is official. Steve Klinkscale is in, replacing Mo Linguist. So that is excellent news for Michigan. I think that's one of those situations where it couldn't get much better given the circumstances. Because I think if Klinkscale was the original hire, I think people would be fine with that, right? So I think that that's an excellent situation for Michigan to get Klinkscale, pry him away, because you have not only an excellent recruiter, you have, well, he's a home run, in my opinion, because with Mo Linguist, you had a guy that we know he was an excellent recruiter. We think he was a pretty good coach. Obviously, he was an NFL coach, brought those bona fides in. Kind of him leaving renders the Jordan Lewis interview useless, but at least we finally got JD on. But the thing about Klinkscale is he does all three things you need. He can recruit. No, he doesn't have any five stars to his name, but he was recruiting at a place like Kentucky or Cincinnati, Illinois, Toledo. So, and he's got 8 4 stars to his name. When you're bringing in 4 stars to Kentucky, that is a very, very positive thing, considering Kentucky, yeah, they get good players, but at the same time, it's Kentucky. Kentucky is one of the bottom barrel SEC schools. Bringing in 4 stars to Kentucky is like bringing in 4 stars to, I guess, Indiana, Purdue, somewhere like that. Kentucky isn't even Iowa. So to be able to recruit there is evidence that you can recruit anywhere, that you're good at that, at doing that. The second thing is, he is excellent at developing players. And he's been in Kentucky for a little while now. It's like, what, 6 years? 5 years, 6 years. And in the last 3 drafts, he sent 4 of his defensive backs into the league. Because he was a defensive backs coach. He sent 2 corners this particular year, and then 2 years ago, he sent a couple safeties. So here's the thing about it. He's had 2 second round picks coming out of Kentucky. In the Jim Harbaugh era, out of all of these defensive backs that have been excellent, I don't think anyone would trade Jordan Lewis or David Long or Ambry Thomas. Heck, I mean, I don't think people would trade LaVert Hill, who went undrafted. All of the other ones, other than LaVert Hill, 3rd-round picks. So he's getting those guys to the league. He has a track record of being able to do that. And additionally, he can coach. Because he's had multiple guys go out there. No, it's not really multiple guys. I'm misspeaking. But he's had some pass defenses that have been stellar, as good as number 2 in the country. It's not consistent. Last year wasn't that great for him, but the year before was. I believe the year before that was. And then the year before that wasn't that good, and the year before that was. He's also got defensive coordinator experience, having done that for Cincinnati in 2015, I believe it was. So he knows defense. It was a middling defense at Cincinnati, but again, it's a group of 5 school. So Michigan is getting someone who is a triple threat. Michigan is getting someone who can do everything, and he's got experience recruiting in Metro Detroit. He's got experience recruiting Tennessee and Georgia and Florida. He's an Ohio native. He's pulled some of his biggest recruits out of Oak Park. He's got a good relationship with Detroit coaches. So, again, between him and Ron Bellamy, you've got Detroit locked down. Now, yeah, you are saying goodbye to your Texas footprint a little bit with Linguist gone. But people weren't necessarily clamoring for Michigan to get into Texas. They should. Texas is arguably the richest talent-deep state in the country, I think by virtue of size. They had the most picks in the NFL draft, but then obviously Florida's the other one. So, I mean, he's been in the SEC footprint. So you hope that the Tennessee thing continues. Sounds like Miles Pollard has a really good relationship with him. And you hope that he fences Michigan. Because, let's face it, Michigan State, particularly in the transfer portal, has been excellent. It has been unbelievable. Now, they're not necessarily getting the top-end prospects. But, I mean, they're still pulling guys from really big schools. Obviously, they got one from Michigan. They got one from Alabama just this past week. Out of the all the schools that Michigan State has been able to pull transfers from, they're all a who's who. So it becomes that much more imperative to fence the state. Say, hey, you know what? We want this guy. Let's go get this guy. Additionally, Will Johnson, from what I could tell by headlines, still solid. The rest of the class, still solid. We'll see. I mean, this class has been get two commits, lose one, get two commits, lose one. That's just been kind of how this class has gone. But nonetheless, it is an incredibly solid hire for Michigan. Let's continue talking about it here in a moment. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. So rockauto.com's prices, they are the same for everybody. And guess what? They're reliably low. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, like right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so here's the thing with the Clink Scale hire. There are certainly candidates that you could have gone out and tried to get. We talked about Clink Scale. We talked about the defensive pass game coordinator for the Ravens. That would have been hard, I think, considering you already pulled two guys from the Ravens, Roy Manning at Oklahoma, who obviously coached at Michigan before, played at Michigan. I feel like would have been a worthy addition. I think if you were going to poach somebody, this is about as good as it gets. And I really like what he said, because again, we're about combating misinformation on this show. Clink Scale, this is what he had to say in the press. It's the official press release, so take it all with a grain of salt, but he said, Coach Harbaugh and I have developed a relationship over the years, and this will be a great opportunity to work together. That's the first line. The rest of it is whatever. Now, the narrative going around that started really with Linguist going, I mean, it didn't start there, but it was just added to it, was this whole, like, coaches are just, you know, they bail on Harbaugh. There's no evidence really for that, right? There's none. It's just, it's something that's made up. Mike Zordich had been an original hire. He came aboard in 2015. If Michigan didn't go a different way, Mike Zordich would still be in Ann Arbor. He is one of two original hires, obviously Jay Harbaugh being the other one, and Jay's not going anywhere. So let's take a quick look at the coaches who've come and gone in the Harbaugh tenure. Tim Drevno was around for 3 years, pushed out the door, took a demotion at USC. Jed Fish is kind of the only one, well, not the only one, Greg Jackson. They both left of their own volition. Greg Jackson took the same kind of role that he had before in the NFL. Clearly didn't want to be the college level. Jed Fish took a promotion by going to UCLA, and obviously that's paid off well for him, just going stop to stop, being an analyst in the NFL, and now he's a head coach at Arizona. Brian Smith, who replaced Greg Jackson, was in Ann Arbor for 2 years, and then he left for a job promotion, being the defensive coordinator at Rice. Let's see, who else? Because I'm going just off the top of my head, knowing what all these guys went to do. Pep Hamilton was pushed out the door for Josh Gattis. Tyrone Wheatley was pushed out the door. Unfortunately, the day before, the inside baseball here is the day before, Tyrone Wheatley was let go. He called me, and it just seemed like everything was good. I was on the treadmill at the gym. He'd never called me before. I thought it was going to be a goodbye, and it wasn't. Let's see, who else do we have? Greg Madison, obviously turncoated. Maybe he had a bad relationship with Harbaugh. Don Brown, well, first off, DJ Durkin became a head coach, you know, at a Power 5 school. You don't turn that down. Don Brown pushed out the door, which was his replacement. Missing a linebackers coach in there somewhere. Nonetheless, like pretty much every, like Chris Partridge took a promotion. He wanted that co-defensive coordinator title. Have that on extremely good authority. Michigan would have matched it. He would have stayed. That's what I had it written and ready. And I had told people that were pretty in the know, like, hey, this is going to happen. And they were like, nope, because I knew what was going to happen. So he obviously had linebackers and before going to safeties. Who was the original linebackers coach? That's what I can't. Back in 2015, maybe there wasn't one. Obviously, quarterbacks coach, they only had one before, and that was Ben McDaniels. He's with the Texans now, pushed out the door. So out of all of those, I'm probably missing somebody. Well, yeah, Greg Fry went back to his alma mater. Weird fit. They got Ed Warner. It was an upgrade. Ed Warner pushed out the door, unfortunately, because, again, he did a really good job in Ann Arbor. So of all of those, the only one that I can sit there and say, maybe it wasn't Harbaugh. You know, maybe he wasn't getting along with Harbaugh, is Greg Madison. Now, I don't think Harbaugh and Tim Drevno were getting along, so you have that. And again, maybe I'm missing somebody, but I cannot think of a linebackers coach before Chris Partridge. Then you have John Baxter. He went back to USC where he was for a long time, and you know he showed up to the satellite camp in 2016 up in Sacramento. I know because I was there, And, you know, there was no bad blood there or anything. It was his daughter was at USC. He had been at USC forever, just decided that was a better fit. But of all of those, there's no evidence that there's a Harbaugh issue. So can we just let that rest? Can we not make a story out of nothing? It's getting old. I think y'all get it. I think most people get it, but it becomes a narrative and it's just tiring. So Steve Klinkscale, just like, you know, Steve Klinkscale, I want in. Matt Weiss coached with under Harbaugh as, I believe it was a grad assistant, right? In Stanford, wants in. It's people are buying in that have either coached with him before or hadn't, or, you know, if there was this big thing about, you know, Harbaugh's a nightmare to work with, then some guys like Matt Weiss aren't going to come to Ann Arbor. Heck, Mike Hart wouldn't come to Ann Arbor because there was bad blood for a while, and it's pretty well documented, between Harbaugh and Mike Hart, going back to Mike Hart's college days. So, is what it is. That narrative needs to die. All right. Let's move on. Just going to hit a couple different things here in this last section. Not one particular thing. There's just a couple little things I want to hit. So, before we get to that, let's talk about betonline.ag. Y'all know how much I talk about that. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, MLB, NHL, they're all in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets. And guess what? It's free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use that promo code LOCKEDON. Receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, the other thing I obviously got to tell you about is Built Bar. That's one that y'all definitely know why, because it's one that I put my money where my mouth is. I have bought probably a dozen boxes at this point. I am a big fan of everything Built Bar has put out, especially recently. I feel like it has gotten better. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it's a protein bar. It tastes like a candy bar. High protein, low calories, low carbs. And as soon as I get off this show, I'm having two because I can't eat just one. It's going to be my dinner tonight because that's just where I'm at. So I'm telling you, they've got some amazing flavors. Peanut butter brownie is currently my favorite. That's probably what I'm going with tonight because I also have the coconut brownie chunk, which is a limited edition. You got to watch out for those limited edition ones, man. Those are always off the charts. So go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off of that next order. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15. All right. So Michigan put out yet another offer to a defensive tackle. This dude's a behemoth. I have to look up the name because I forgot already, and I didn't think that that was going to happen, but it did. They are going after some defensive tackles, some nose tackle types. His name is Jordan Whitley. I actually kind of remembered it right before I pulled it up. 6'1", 358 pounds. Not the greatest track record. 13 total tackles, really only 1 year in the Power Five. Played at a JUCO before going to Oregon State. He's 25 years old. Which makes me think that if I bulk up, maybe I got a chance. I still got some eligibility. So it's between him, Tony Fair, they are going after some grad transfer types. I would expect somebody, and this is Whitley's first offer since he hit the portal, I would expect somebody to end up in Ann Arbor. And then they'll have that big nose tackle. Like I said, the prototype would be Brian Monet. It's like, too bad Brian Monet wasn't a couple years younger, because it would have been a perfect fit for what they're trying to do. The reason why Brian Monet just signed another contract as an undrafted free agent, coming after initially as an undrafted free agent with Seattle. Just signed a bona fide contract extension. So that is exactly the type of guy they're looking for. Other news, Josh Connerly, the five-star offensive tackle from outside of Seattle, put Michigan in his top 12. That's notable. Yeah, it's a top 12, but it's the only school that's both north of the Mason-Dixon line and east of the Mississippi. I mean, he's got a couple schools there, like Alabama, Auburn, that are east of the Mississippi, but south. But no Ohio State, no, none of those types of schools, no Penn State. So Michigan is the only Big Ten school in there. A couple SEC schools, a bunch of Pac-12 schools, Washington, Oregon, USC. Those are the ones that I'm trying to fend off. But again, this is a Schroen Moore special. Get him to campus and you got yourself a shot. He's got one crystal ball with a level of 3 confidence indicating Washington. So that's not a done deal, but that's the home state school. So that would be huge if Michigan was able to get him. Not saying that they will, but at least to be considered, because it just seemed like Michigan wasn't even being considered for some of those types, right? Last thing I want to mention is that Mike Farrell, I put out a couple Mike Farrell from Rivals articles. One of them is that when it comes to his breakout players in 2021 in the Big Ten, this is part of his 3-point stance. He has Daxton Hill as his number one. He's like, I've been hearing amazing things coming out of spring. I think if Daxton Hill can go out there and be the player we all think he can be, Michigan's defense, with him in the middle back, then, I mean, he's versatile to play kind of wherever. And Aiden Hutchinson up front, I think that the defense would be that much better. I think that the defense really could come on strong if Daxton Hill helps lead it. But, I mean, obviously, and I did a thing on Game Changers about guys that need to step up, or, like, if they step up, then it bodes really well for Michigan. See if I can find that real fast, but... Oh, I know I can because I have it in my notes. I just put J.J. McCarthy, obviously 5-star quarterback. It's been a long time since Michigan's had that type. I mean, it's been Chad Henne, Ryan Mallett, Donovan Edwards at running back. Again, 5-star running back. They had Derek Green, but, I mean, Michigan hasn't had that running back that can just carry the load the way you'd hope. I mean, Caron Higdon does count, but... I think he was a solid college running back. Edwards has the potential of being great. Wide receiver, I put A.J. Henning because he's skilled and can play multiple. You can move him around. Like Cornelius Johnson was kind of my second one, but and because he's got the body to be like Nico Collins 2.0. But I think Henning in today's college football could be that standout. Starters, Eric All and Zach Zinter. Hey, Eric All's got everything you want in a tight end. We just haven't seen it yet. Fearless blocker. And supposedly has great hands. We just didn't see it last year. Zach Zinter sounds like a mauler. Defensive end, Braden McGregor. And it's kind of hard to really put anything else on the defensive end position because that's where Michigan has really thrived. So I just think he could be the next great one. I don't think he's necessarily as much of a game changer. Junior Colson at linebacker. He's got speed. Was going to be a Viper. But he's got size as well. I think he could... He's not going to remind anyone of Devin Bush, but it's a different system. I think that he could be really good. And then as far as safeties, I said pick him because you just got so many safeties right now. Safeties room is just loaded. Between Dax and Brad Hawkins, R.J. Moten, Jordan Morant, Makari Page. And then for corner, it was the last couple classes, last three. Because we're still waiting on DJ Turner and Jalen Perry. And you obviously got Andre Seldon, Darian Green-Warren. And Jaden McBurrows might be a 3-star. But when you have an Alabama and an LSU offer, that says something. So that will do it for us today. Tomorrow is the mailbag. Get your questions in. I've already posed the call for questions on Twitter. So get your questions in. That'll do it. We will talk to you tomorrow. Peace.